As we prepare for the reading of Scripture for today, I want to direct your attention to a half-page map that you were given when you came into the church. This represents the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. I'd like to direct your attention to the right-hand side of the map, where you will see Syria listed. And just above Syria, you see a town called Antioch. That is where the church headquarters was at the time, and that is where Paul's first missionary journey will begin. You can follow from Antioch down to Seleucia, and the number one taking you over to the island of Cyprus. This is what we will read shortly. Paul and his companions go through Cyprus. They get to Paphos, and number three arrow takes you up to Perga in Pamphylia, and then all the way up to Antioch, which is at the top of your map. So that's where we are headed in the first reading for today from the book of Acts. This also forms the basis for the sermon this morning. And so our first reading this morning from the book of Acts, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the Law and the Prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out from that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.' From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I am not that one. No, but he is coming after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.' Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David.' So it is stated elsewhere, 'You will not let your Holy One see decay.' For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom Jesus raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. Thus far, the reading of our first lesson for today. I invite you to stand for the gospel. And the gospel for this second Sunday in Advent, according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is the one who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Dearly beloved of God, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, this morning we follow in the steps of the Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey as he makes his way from church headquarters in Antioch of Syria through the land of Cyprus north into the modern-day land of Turkey. This represents the advent of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Paul journeys alliteratively from Paphos in Perga to Perga in Pamphylia. Yesterday I learned at the men's breakfast that Perga actually had a sister city in its day. You know what sister cities are all about. Some would say, you know, Minneapolis-St. Paul. You go there to Minneapolis-St. Paul, those sister cities. Well, there was Perga and there was Tori, so they would go to Purgatory. Now, I'm just reporting what I learned at the men's breakfast. Don't give me a hard time about this. So they're going from Perga. They're going up to Perga in Pamphylia. And then Paul and his companions journey north further about another 120 miles till they get to a place called Antioch in a region called Pisidia. They find their way into a synagogue on the Sabbath day. The scriptures are read, and then they are given the invitation to speak, to share a word of encouragement. This past week, as I was checking something out on the internet, an advertisement appeared on my screen, an advertisement that said, "Cozy gifts that feel like a hug." Cozy gifts that feel like a hug. I think they were advertising some fluffy towels or something. Cozy gifts that feel like a hug. And at first I thought it was kind of funny. Then I thought it was rather sad. And then I thought, how true. We all like hugs. We like to feel cozy. We all need encouragement. Do you know there's a Bible app that you can get for your phone? I have it on mine, and it's called YouVersion. Hundreds of thousands of people have this app on their phone. And this past week, I heard that YouVersion has reported that the most accessed verse, the most highlighted verse of all their users is Philippians 4, verse 6, which says, "Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Have no anxiety about anything. It made me wonder about the state of our country. It made me wonder about the needs of the people living in our day. People who are aching for comfort and consolation, encouragement, relief from anxiety. We all need encouragement. And that's what the congregation was asking for in that synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia. And that's what we've come for here today at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Saratoga. We've come to hear a word of forgiveness, a word of hope, a word of life, a word of encouragement. And it is at this invitation that the Apostle Paul will arise and give his first recorded sermon. And in it, we find words that are most appropriate for this season. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace. We thank you for this season in which we prepare ourselves to receive you once again. We thank you for those you have raised up to speak your good news. And we pray that their words of encouragement given to a congregation thousands of years ago would be words of encouragement for us as well here today. We pray, O Lord, that we would hear your voice speaking through them and that you would do your will among us, that we too might be encouraged by you. And so we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Amen. If you have a word of encouragement, if you have something to share that will build us up as a community, then please do share. So was the invitation given to Paul and Barnabas. A quick word about Barnabas, Paul's companion. His name literally means son of encouragement. So you might expect that Barnabas would be the one to stand up and share with that congregation that day. You might even picture Barnabas sort of gathering his thoughts, clearing his throat, and getting ready. And then Saul of Tarsus stands up and preempts him. He starts right in. Don't you hate that when that happens? Somebody gets in right before you. Well, Paul is a Hebrew, and he's speaking to the Hebrews who had gathered in that synagogue. But he's not the. But there are not only Hebrews who are there. There are also some Gentiles who had come into the Jewish community. Paul leads them all through a walk through the scriptures of sorts, reminding them of those God moments or interactions between the Creator and his people. Paul makes mention along the way of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the experience of God's people in the land of Egypt, the Exodus, the time out in the wilderness, and their entry into the Promised Land. Through it all, Paul is giving all the credit to God, the actor behind the scenes, delivering on his promises, all for God's good purpose. Paul continues recounting the history of God's people, remembering the judges, Samuel, and the first two kings of the United Kingdom, Saul and David. And when Paul gets to David, it's there that he stops. For there, Paul has reached the connection that he wants to make with his audience. Now, during the season of holy days, we perhaps have many opportunities to share the good news that we have come to find in Jesus with others. Paul gives us an example of how to set the stage. Paul begins by listening. He responds to an inquiry to share some good news, share some words of encouragement. And then Paul starts by speaking about what they have in common. Paul finds common ground with his audience, and then, and in doing so, he builds rapport with them. Paul well knows this connection between David and Jesus, and although he skips about 1,000 years of history, he skips seamlessly from David to Jesus. David, of course, was that king par excellence. The sons of David had formed a single dynasty and ruled the southern kingdom of Judah. But when Judah was conquered by the Babylonians, the family rule was finished, and the people of Israel then waited. They waited for centuries for the restoration of the Davidic dynasty. They waited for the advent of a new king from David's line, one who would be God's king, God's Messiah, God's Christ. And so Paul speaks a word of encouragement to his audience there in the synagogue in Antioch. From the offspring of this man, which is David, from the offspring of this man, according to promise, God has brought to us a Savior, Jesus. Paul, in his address, in his sermon, gets to Jesus. This is the core of his message of encouragement, the center of confession. Paul makes reference to John the Baptist, the modern-day prophet, who ministers in the spirit of Elijah, who speaks of the one coming after him. John announces the advent, the coming of Jesus, and Paul takes it from there. He says that Jesus was the innocent one, the one who offered his life in sacrifice, whom God raised from the dead. You've asked us for a word of encouragement. We're here to preach to you the good news of the promise made to our fathers, our ancestors, that God fulfilled in the generation of their children. God raised up Jesus. The long-expected one has arrived. The waiting time is over. The resurrection is part of Paul's central confession. He mentions the resurrection 4 times in this sermon, and both Jews and Gentiles are there to hear it. Paul reinforces his claim of God's completed promises in Jesus by pointing to the very scriptures that the students in the synagogue pore over each Sabbath. He refers to the prophecies made then and to the fulfillment realized now in Jesus. You have asked for a word of encouragement. We're here to tell you that through him, through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. You've asked for a word of encouragement. We tell you that through faith in this crucified and resurrected Jesus, you will find freedom. Freedom you could not obtain through the law of Moses. In this crucified and risen Jesus, you will find justification. Justification that could not be attained, as you well know, through any effort to keep the law. Paul concludes his sermon by giving them a warning. Carefully consider these words of encouragement. Take heed that you do not respond to God's fulfilled promises in Jesus with arrogance or scoffing, and thereby walk away from the Savior and the salvation that he brings, and perish. After the apostolic address, there are some whose consciences are piqued. They beg Paul and Barnabas for a follow-up session the next Sabbath. And Paul and Barnabas continue to encourage the people by urging them to advance in the grace of God and the freedom that comes from the crucified and risen Savior Jesus. Well, even as John had spoken of the advent of the one who would come after him, so the advent of the apostles opens the eyes of those present in the synagogue that day to the fulfillment of the prophecies that the prophets had shared. The waiting time had ended. The fulfillment had come. God had visited his people with his son, this descendant of David, the promised Christ. And so in this Advent season, we pray, come, Lord Jesus. And so we commit ourselves to continue in this apostolic ministry, to bring words of encouragement to people who long to hear it. To God alone be all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, in the fullness of time, you sent to the world your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. We thank you for your abundant grace, which you have poured out for us, your people. And we pray that this abundant grace, this knowledge of our Savior, would do its work in us, that we would share the good news of his coming to a world that longs for a word of encouragement, a word of consolation. May your will be done in us and through us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.